healthy drugs know, a single ounce will give 300,000 average doses. MSD is a hallucinogen. That's to say, it's...
That runs at 7 p.m., followed by Nzulanui at 9 p.m. That's at the review. And that about does it for Movie Time today for Wednesday, January 13th. It's been a treat, folks. Talk to you later.
CKLN FM, 88.1 in Toronto, and good afternoon. It is 5:32, late afternoon, early evening, and it is Mike with you. Thanks to Ron McFarlane for coming down and sharing some of his travels around the Global Village this afternoon. And that was really nice, listening to Ron's audio tapes of the...
Did you hear any of that today?
I did. Yeah, it was excellent. Yeah.
And the hushed voice in the dark room of J.R. Bob Dobbs. And the Church of the Subgenius, and this is the week after, I guess, Black Wednesday. After the revelation of, well, the accusation, I guess, of made by Ivan Stang. And I guess, really, you know, I've been thinking about it for a week. A lot of people have come down hard on me and my reaction to... just on a personal basis, you know, I take, I guess, sometimes criticism very personally, and maybe I was a little too hard on you last week, Bob.
On me?
On you. But I guess I was quite moved or swayed by Ivan Stang's tape last week. If you missed it last week, I read a letter that I'd received from Ivan Stang from Subgenius, well, the false Subgenius headquarters in Dallas, claiming that Bob was a fake, that you were not, you're resurfacing here in Toronto, that you were not... the anti-Bob, but you were...
Not even the anti-Bob.
No, but you were a fake Bob.
A fake evil Bob.
A fake evil Bob. And that I shouldn't be messing with you. Well, I'm still messing with you, so let's follow up with what we were talking about last week, Bob.
Well, I would say, as a theme, the words, to illustrate Stang, to express what he's projecting, and as user, as content, those words would be the diabolical principle... and the dithyrambic spectator. That's all you can be in Stang's industrial church. It's not live. There's a couple of points I wanted to make. I didn't want to dwell too much on it because I don't think Pink Wednesday was worth dealing with. Stang obviously failed. The people felt that you were coming too hard on me because... Why? I can't even think of a reason. I don't know why it even entered their minds or ears. I really want to get into some new stuff, Mike. I got distracted last week with that letter. All I know and what we can say now is that we sent my Subgenius buddy, Bob Marshall, directly to the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Stang made the mistake of leaving his personal phone number on the letter, and Marshall will be featuring some interesting talk with Stang as my representative in upcoming shows, right?
At some point, we'll phone Stang live.
We'll do that after we present with Bob Marshall coming up.
Marshall,
what do you think?
Yeah. Sounds reasonable to me. I think working in a chronological order, and then we'll do it that way. We'll approach Stang from behind and get the real facts. What do you want to move on to today, then? Let's leave Stang behind.
It says in the Seek Allen program that we have the Church of the Subgenius on at that this half hour, and then they have banter from J.R. Bob.
Some misprint.
Banter. And to encourage that maybe is what's been happening the last 6 months. It's not there. Get rid of that. But I'd like to go into some actual... and develop what I started off a couple of weeks ago in dealing with the basic critical principles of the unique perspective of Bob Dobbs and his live electric church. And first of all, there's some little backlog to clear up with. I was asked by you several months ago, what is the meaning or mystery or value of the number 22? Do you remember you asking me that? And I refused to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't time then, but I'm going to start giving some clues to the meaning of 22. For example... as a prelude, last year, 1987, there were 22 wars, and there were 2.2 million deaths in those wars, all right, for 1 year. 22, the two digits, 2-2, show up in both cases. Interesting, right? But to indicate the importance of the number 22, you take the symbol for water, H2O, right, the scientific symbol. H is the eighth letter in the alphabet. So H... 2, subdigit 2 there, 2 times H or 2 times 8 is 16, right? O is the 15th letter in the alphabet. O, therefore, consists of the digits 1 and 5. 1 and 5 add up to 6. Now you take 2 times H, which is 16, plus O reduced to 6, 16 plus 6 equals 22. In other words, the most basic element in this pink dimension, really subgenius, but pink dimension on the surface, is an element that adds up to 22. And that's water, and I would say this is a message to the pink and subgenius fresh out of the water. The old visual space water. Now we're in a new tank, the electric tank, which leads to my next topic, which continues from what I said 2 weeks ago, that we're in a situation in the global theater. Now, you said the global village. I would ask you not to use that phrase because that's Bucky Fuller's phrase, and Marshall McLuhan is generally credited with saying it. Then there's confusion whether he got it from Fuller or not. But the real insight and percept that McLuhan used that he hasn't been given credit for and is more appropriate to our time is the global theater. Okay. We've got to emphasize the global theater because that puts Canada and our main man from the 60s and 70s, Marshall McLuhan, ahead on the map, in the map, and ahead of Fuller.
Okay.
Fuller, basically 19th century man, gadget lover, right?
I'm making a note of that right now.
Good. So in the global theater situation, which is many media interplaying, interreacting, and retrieving each other, I express that on a political level, you have Radio City, which is Latin America and the Middle East. You have Book City, which is China and Russia. And you have Computer Land in North America. But I didn't get to finish the points of naming these and what this means for everybody. I would say that the practical principles for critical perspective in a situation where it's awful hard to get perspective because we are in a situation where the viewer is the screen in the TV environment. So in acoustic space, it's impossible to have the old visual sense perspective. But there is a way of having perspective if you ground. And the ground is the modes of change and influence and persuasion that happen in the environment itself. And I've been articulating the basic characteristics of the electric environment and their persuasive tendencies, which are generally in the tactile space interval metamorphosis situation. Now, any argument that's brought up, any problem on the earth, in the earth, any cultural conflict, any personal conflict, any media conflict should be talked about always with mention of the ground and their characteristics. And you'll never find this. This is the big blind spot, the big deaf spot in all commentary today. The media never talk about themselves in terms of ground and any other problem. So I would say one could bring up any, this is Bob Dobbs' opinion and truth, is that I would say you bring up any topic, abortion, racism, civil rights, third world rights, first world rights, second world rights, or fourth world rights, or pollution. If the ground is not mentioned, then there's nothing but a smokescreen that causes more confusion. Not that the issues themselves and points of view are not valid, but the ground they're operating in now is a whole new situation and actually pushes every situation to a theatrical situation. That's why we call it the global theater. So if you took the present problem in Palestine, with the Israeli pinks nailing the Palestinian pinks and subgeniuses there. Nothing is mentioned about the effect of radio as an environment on a situation that is not industrialized. Not industrialized like the West, Europe, and North America, especially not like North America. And the assumption imposed on pinks and subgeniuses alike by the industrial environment take several hundreds of years to mold the percepts of the users of that environment, of that industrial environment. Therefore, when you put an electric environment around the industrial phase, the industrial part of the world, that's including roads, streets, cars, and street lights, and factories, and schools, and education, and government, and bureaucracies, and all these things, they are ill-equipped to deal with the new electric situation and what it molds the society and its citizens into. But even more ill-equipped is the third world, because they have to relate to an industrial environment which adopts and dominates them through the first world of the West, all right? They have to relate to that. But they cannot really get a hold on the industrial world as long as the electric environment within their situation maintains the perceptual bias within those people, which we will call pre-industrial, and generally you could call them tribal. And this is not a derogatory term, it's a perceptual fact. They've not been massaged by the industrial environment for several hundred years, which requires them to become that kind of pink or subgenius. If you dump an electric radio situation into that pre-industrial culture, then it inflames the tribal hatreds beyond any sense of rationality from the first world or the industrial manager's points of view. Now, it's the industrial manager's problem, and the Pinks and those subgeniuses occupy that situation, because subgeniuses, a lot of them don't know this stuff. This is why Stang fails in his book, Reverend Stang. He does not know this extra knowledge, which was illustrated in the beginning by Wyndham Lewis and James Joyce and Phineas Wake. The Lewis-Joyce problem I can go into later, but the situation where the Palestinians and Israelis are electrified, and the industrial managers do not recognize that problem, creates a sensual and perceptual misunderstanding of the ground rules of the environment itself. And on top of that, you have the ancient prejudices and exploitations of the group, one group over another in that environment, which are all that talked about, but never talked is the effect of radio. Now, the solution, from a subgenius point of view, the solution is always within the problem. One of the solutions first in the Palestinian problem would be to shut off the radio environment. Now, that's pretty hard to do, right? Because the Pinks aren't going to let that happen. But if you know that can be done, and then you tell the reporters and commentators to comment on that, then there's a little bit of pressure put on the managers who have to deal with the conflict, right? They may not apply it, but it's there. It gets them off other distracting red herrings that they're using anyways. Now, if you can't turn off the radio environment completely, you turn it off temporarily, and you put a TV situation there. You bring in a quick TV environment, and you put the contending parties on TV in dialogue. Because television will cool down a heated-up situation. Television is antithetical to radio, all right? Now, this solution of bringing TV in and having the people in conflict dialoguing about their various grievances, that dialogue should not be done with a goal for solutions within the dialogue, you know, talking towards finding a resolution of the conflict. Just talking about it under the TV situation and a TV environment will cool all the publics and audiences out. It will assuage the heated tribal effect of the radio environment. Now, most people won't believe what I'm talking about.
Well, does that assume that there has to be a radio environment in place?
Yes. But you could turn it off and, I mean, it's easy to turn off electric environment, right? Just cut off the sources of the stations. And now, there's probably some TV in the Middle East, maybe more than in Israel than in the refugee camps.
But I think there's more radio.
More radio and transistors than that. Now, if you bring, you can just bring in community television, which a tribal group, a pre-industrialized group, will watch in that style anyways, in groups and families, because the radio environment inflames and heats up the normal kinship patterns that that kind of society has, which the industrial world doesn't have. I mean, the nuclear family surfaced in the 19th century and has been destroyed under the electric conditions where there are no families today, though there is a tendency for familyness, extended familyness in all forms through all types of people in North America, attempt to bring a kind of tribal formation under the electric pressure back to the industrialized society, but it's awful hard, and basically it creates a lot of stress and strain, and most people in North America live under conditions of solitude because they're caught between their old industrial perceptual pattern and the new electric tribal effect, and they're incapable of dealing with the electric effect. Now, the subsequent generations, Pinks and subgeniuses, that live more in a tribal discarnate electric environment will be able to handle the situation, and that is why North America is going third world. The third world's hankering to become first world and second world as a novelty, which is becoming industrial, but both situations are paradoxical and feeling of incompletion and frustration to be able to accomplish it, because as they want some of our first world hardware, that is being eroded in its source, the first world, because we're becoming third world. So you get a rather absurd surface of events as a result of this conflict of different perceptual modes. And so you can bring up anything, abortion thinking, free trade, the effect of television on the North American audiences.
The tuna scandal, for instance.
The tuna scandal, any of these things, but free trade, for example, the whole perceptual bias in that icon and the effects on an audience in North America, including the Canadians, that enjoys a discarnate TV environment 24 hours a day, you can see how for the mass general population of Canadians, they would not object to merging with the American environment because it already is the content for the Canadian environment. Actually, the hidden environment for Canadians is the American television environment. Now, Canadians being used as content, interpreted as Canadians, but they are swamped inside the American environment. You know what I mean? Therefore, in general, no. That's why Americans and Canadians per se would not know about free trade and what it means in bureaucratic terms, because they don't think in those terms anymore. They just think in terms of tribal loyalties to whatever job or role they have in society. And they don't see why there should be any visual demarcation between Canada and the United States. Now, I'm not saying this is good or bad, but it is the fact. That's the hidden ground of the whole argument, which is never brought up. And that would, if Turner and these people, Ed Broadbent and Mulroney, discussed these issues and talked about it, then there would be a heightened awareness of the situation we're all involved in, regardless of the concepts that the Pinks project on us. So this is a sample of application of Bob's dogma. And I have a feeling that it's time to go to the tape, right?
Oh, it's long overdue, but I was so enjoying your rant that I thought I'd let it go.
Well, that's interesting you said it, because that means that you are malleable. So you were formed by Stang's letter last week and involved with that. Now you're susceptible to mine.
I don't know, though, that perhaps you weren't listening earlier. Ron and I were talking about media saturation, and Ron was in parts of the world that are just never exposed to media, whether it be print, radio, or television, least of all television, of course.
Well, what part? There's no part of the world that doesn't have some electric environment.
We're talking about extreme jungle regions, tribal regions, as you would say.
You mean like in the Amazon? Or was he in India?
He was in India, Nepal.
Now, don't they have some kind of telephone or radio?
There were parts. I mean, there were portions thereof, but we went into one village that didn't have a road, that had no electricity. I spent some time there.
All right, now, the point is that even those regions are inside the satellite environment.
Well, regions within regions.
Yeah, but those regions are within the satellite environment, because the satellite goes around the whole planet, and that has an effect of turning the planet into an art form, a programmed art form, and a theater. Mm-hmm. So
we were also discussing, though, specifically radio.
Yes.
And how radio is, if any media device is accessible, it has always been radio, and radio is, in fact, on the increase as a media device, as a device for tuning in.
That's right. Well, the UN, since the 50s and early 60s, has had a policy of shipping transistor mm-hmm. radios all around the rest of the world. And we could blame the UN for having a lack of perception about the effect of having radio in Africa and Asia, which led to inflamed conflicts with the industrial structure and within tribal groups. That's the problem in South Africa. It was a problem in Nigeria when Biafra had the starvation and famine in 68. All these things are stimulated by a lack of the Westerner and his Pink associates, the effect of the electric environment that they've created. And at the same time as eroding the Western world while creating a tremendous strain on the rest of the world.
Well, let's go to one radio environment in Dallas, and this is station KOLN, and Reverend Ivan Stang, the central figure of controversy here at the regular subgenius portion of our program, who sent his own radio program to us, a few tapes. I'm playing for you, I think it's tape number 79, and we started this last week after our big confrontation and brouhaha, and we've only got about 10 minutes, so we'll only play a few minutes of this.
All right, well, the thing about the tape, you're having tape as content for the radio environment, so tape is art form.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Superior mutants, repent, quit your job, slack off. The world ends tomorrow and you may die.
Well, no, probably not, but whatever you do, just keep listening.
Crisis here!
At last, the step-by-step process is revealed. This is it, the only fate that promises action, thrills, success in sex and business.
Having all the guilt, but none of the sex.
I've been out here
to
suffer, no.
Let my people go.
Are we controlled by secret forces? Do you ever get the feeling that free will is a joke? Do people think you're strange?
Do you? Then you may be on the right track.
Or you're abnormal. Then you are probably better than most people. Yes, your kind shall triumph. But you tried everything. You ain't seen nothing yet. Learn to think big.
Develop the tricks of length extension. Bring your weirdest dreams to rampaging life. Stand direct for your own abnormality.
Get that M4K every day!
The student of Dobbs' training is practically forced to bring his strangest desires into rampaging life.
I used to get embarrassed about my glass madness. Now I get paid. The pigs pay me fabulous sums of money for what they use.
Bombings came out and gunshots and so forth.
Lovely piece of tape editing there by Douglas Kahn.
The voice of Ivan Stang and, of course, the voice of President Ronald Reagan together on the Hour of Slack from KOLN in Dallas, Texas.
Now, that was funny.
Right?
But you know why?
Why, Bob?
That was me imitating Reagan and doing a little skit with Philo. And Ivan was taping it from 1981. And so, as usual, anything that's good on this tape is what I was part of.
It's from the source. People keep talking about the source. And Ivan, of course, claims he is the source. And I guess, to me, you are the source.
You're really supporting me today.
I felt those
death threats. Those death threats you got over the weekend from my fellow compatriots.
I've lost my cats, Bob. I take this very seriously.
You should.
So we listened to a portion of tape number 79 from Ivan Stang and his subgenius radio ministry, The Hour of Slack.
Well, he's editing a lot of stuff from various contributors.
Yeah.
And I spoke enough before this tape. I think we should end the show.
Okay. Are you going to be back next week, or are you making your big journey next week?
Doing both. I'll be here and making journeys.
Oh, how exciting. Okay. Praise Bob.
Praise Mike.